these touches afresh, Lord. Let the breeze of your Spirit flow through here and touch us afresh. Opening our eyes to see you, our ears to hear you, and our hearts to receive what you have. As we ask for your forgiveness for every word, thought, and deed, every idol, anything that's between you and us, Lord, remove it. Have mercy upon us and let your grace abound as we cast our cares upon you, for you care for us. Oh, Lord, position us towards no longer we that live, but you that live. And in the final trial, the final hours that are left here, Lord, purge us, purify us, and establish us for your glory. As we repent, Master, for touching unclean things, coming in agreement with the voice of the stranger, unfulfilling vows, works of the flesh, selfishness, and the will of self. Come, Holy Spirit, as we're washed with the blood today. Come, Holy Spirit, and take your rightful place here. Break every hardened heart. Loose us from every bond of deception. And establish the heart, mind, will, and the desires of Christ in each and every one of us. Every desire that is from Christ. Send forth your word to each and every one here that by the stripes of Jesus they be made whole. Spirit, soul, and body, and mind. Establish us to be sons and daughters that are pleasing to you, Master. That your name would be glorified. That your kingdom would be expanded. And that we'd walk in unity and oneness with you. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Give somebody a hug. Tell them this is your day. This is the day the Lord has made and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And it's a good day to die, isn't it? Yeah, man. You're going to die one way or another. You might as well die now and get it over with. Glory to God. Would you turn to James 4, please? James chapter 4. Let's start at verse 1, please. James 4, verse 1. How many of y'all know God's on the move? And you got to move with him. You know, it's amazing that when the Israelites were in the wilderness, he manifested his cloud by day and his fire by night, and they followed it. And during this wilderness period, what he was trying to do was get Egypt, because the word Egypt means worldliness. He was trying to get Egypt out of them so he can get his character in them. But because of their grumbling and complaining and self-will, they ended up dying in the wilderness. And in this, God is opening the door. In fact, we have entered the wilderness. And I'm going to show you what's going on. In James chapter 4 and verse 1, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your what? Your desires. That's called self-will. The will of self. For pleasure that war in your members. How many of you know your desires will speak louder than the voice of God? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. And you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may what? Spend it on your pleasures. Wow. So sometimes God will just let it go because you're not willing to really receive. And in this, he'll allow your desire to be manifested. The problem is after your desire is manifested and everything looks beautiful, it usually falls and crumbles. What does he say? Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that what? Friendship with the world is enmity with God. Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself a what? Enemy of God. You know, people become friends of the world and don't even know it. Why? Just because of a desire that's not God. And by following that desire that isn't God, you become a friend of the world. Why? Because remember in Psalm 1:1 it says, blessed is the man who what? Walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. So if that desire is an ungodly, now, just because, let me share with you, it could sound beautiful, but that desire will speak louder than the voice of God. It ain't God. Never is and never will be. Is everybody with me? Do y'all get this? This is why people stayed in the wilderness and died. It says, anybody who's a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but he gives more grace. Grace. Anybody remember what grace is? Grace is the plan of escape. The plan of escape. God releases the plan of escape. What he does is he releases the plan of escape from the deception of darkness and from the wrath of God. So you got to humble. We got to humble. We got to submit. So what he does is he releases more grace. And grace is the plan of escape of the deception of the devil, which brings us into bondage, right? And release in the way of escape from the wrath of God. Because bondage always leads to the wrath of God. Is everybody okay? Therefore, God says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will what? Flee from you. So, you know, it goes back to the understanding that you can do all the spiritual warfare you want, but if you're not in the spirit, ain't nothing going to happen. Spiritual warfare means you must be in the spirit to warfare. There are people trying to fight, claiming all of these things, quoting this, quoting that, doing all kinds of stuff. But because they haven't submitted yet, because if you haven't submit to authority, you have none. And you haven't gotten in, then you don't get in the spirit. And by not getting in the spirit, you can't warfare. The devil looks at you and laughs at you. Hello. So we know that being a friend of the world makes us an enemy of God. Now in this, it doesn't mean that God is your enemy. It means you're his enemy. Why? Because he can't trust you now. And can you trust someone that can't trust you? No. So a friend of the world makes us an enemy of God. Why? Because the ruler of this world is who? Satan. So you become a friend of Satan and not even know it. So you'd be going to church and doing your Bible studies and all these other things, but you're still a friend of Satan. Come on, are y'all getting this? Oh, you're just, Lily, yeah, you're praying in the spirit, waving your hands to Jesus. Yeah, but your heart ain't right. That means if you're still a friend of the world, you're still a friend of Satan. That means he's got access to you, and his purpose is to use you to bring down God's kingdom. Has everybody got it? That's his purpose. So who's the ruler of this world? Satan. And he wants you to be his friend. Go to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 17. What's it say? All unrighteousness is sin. So is disobedience sin? Is rebellion sin? Is self-will sin? Yeah, man. So can desires be sin? Yeah. Sin means presence of evil. That means you're allowing the presence of evil. Transgression means you've acted on it. Iniquity is the result of you acting on it. It brings a curse on yourself and your family line. Let's go a little further. All unrighteousness is what? Sin. And there is sin not leading to death. We know that whoever is born of God, what? Does not sin. In other words, has no fellowship with evil. But he who has been born of God, what? Keeps himself. That's a powerful word right there. Keeps himself. And the wicked one does not touch them. Well, then how did a wicked one touch somebody? Because they didn't keep themselves. So everybody got it. We know that we are of God and the whole world what? The whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And who is the wicked one? The devil, Satan. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from what?
Idols.
Keep yourselves from what?
Idols.
Idols. So can your job be an idol? Can your desire be an idol? Can your spouse be an idol? Can your children be an idol? Can cash be an idol? Can Superman be an idol? How about Mighty Dog? How about Mickey Mouse? See, anything that's an idol, what is he saying? Keep yourselves from idols. An idol is anything that gets between you and God.
Well, I love the Lord.
Well, then do the will of God.
Well, I.
Well, if you love the Lord, you say you love the Lord. The Bible says, if you love me, you'll what? Obey me. Hello. So we are going in the world. We're actually in the wilderness right now. We just began to go in. This was the new shift of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit has brought the whole world into the wilderness. Everyone is in the wilderness right now. Everyone. No one in this planet is not in the wilderness. Everyone is. So we must keep ourselves from the sway of the world. From what? Sin and idols. Galatians 4. Galatians chapter 4. Welcome to the wilderness. No, the title is The World in the Wilderness. Everybody's in the wilderness. This whole planet is in the wilderness. Everybody. Nobody escapes Dad's wilderness. Nobody. Is everybody there? Verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. So God puts us under guardians and stewards until the time appointed to be released. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. Anybody know what the elements of the world is? Lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. But when the fullness of the time has come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father, which means Daddy. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. But then indeed, when you did not know God, you served those which by nature are not gods, or known as idols. But now after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be what? In bondage. In other words, going back to the bondage. Does everybody get this? Going back to the bondage of the world. Many people, the Bible says that the falling away must begin. Amen. And there is a falling away. People are who they'll tell you they love Jesus, but they're falling away. Why? Because they're not doing the will of God. They're doing their own. They're fighting more for their life than the life of Christ. Go to Colossians chapter 2. They are going back instead of going forward. I don't know if anybody remembers, but when I had that vision about the Lord shortening time, and one of the reasons because God is shortening time is because he's losing many. They're not fulfilling. They're not doing their part in the body of Christ. And verse 4, Colossians chapter 2, verse 4. Now this I say, lest anyone should what? Deceive you with what? Persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order, say good order, and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. So what? Walk in him. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Come on, read verse 8. Beware lest anyone cheat you through what? Philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, not according to Christ. Not according to who? Not according to Christ. These are seducing words from the world. They use philosophy, or what we call their philosophies are nothing but a bunch of assumptions. They are assumptions of deceptions or beliefs that bring blindness, delusion, rebellion, and pride, because those will attach you to the world right away. So everybody got it? These are seducing, seductive words and philosophies or assumptions of deception that bring blindness, delusion, rebellion, and pride. In other words, it brings false vision. Is everybody okay? And that will attach you to the world again. And now you're under the sway. Is everybody with me? Everybody got it? Go to Psalm 23 for a second. Psalm 23. Let's read it together, okay? The Lord is my shepherd. Hello. The Lord is my shepherd. In other words, he's my provider. He's my everything. He's my fulfillment. I shall not what?
Want.
I shall not want. And that word want also means lack. You will not lack. Why? Because if you really know, if the Lord is really your shepherd, you're not in want. Because if the Lord is truly your shepherd, in the area where you're obedience, everything is being provided for you. You are living an abundant life. I shall not want. What does it say? He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me into the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they shall what? Comfort me, because they will guide you. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, this is how you go through the wilderness. Why? Because God is going to prove that he is your shepherd, and you will not want. The only thing that will keep you in the wilderness is your wants. Why? Because people who are always wanting are grumbling and complaining. Are you listening? They do things their way. Self-will will keep you in the wilderness. Only the will of God gets you out of the wilderness. Doing the will of God. Not thinking it, not knowing it, and not saying it, but doing it. Or we'll be stuck in the wilderness. Is everybody okay? 1 Corinthians 11. The world is in the wilderness. 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11, 26. Now he's talking about communion, eating the bread and drinking the blood, or having communion, the bread and the wine. He says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. It's amazing in how many people take the body of Christ and the blood of Christ in an unworthy manner, knowing that they truly are not doing the will of God. And they wonder why things happen to them. But they try to blame everybody else and everything else when they're not doing the will of God themselves. They're still doing their will. You know, what is the, you know, people wonder, what is the will of God? Well, the will of God, look at what the disciples, when Jesus said, follow me, what did they do? They dropped everything. They didn't go back and say anything. When Elijah went up to Elisha and he threw the mantle on him and said, come on, man. He said, hold on a second. I need to go say goodbye to mommy and daddy. And he turned around and said, what have I done to you? And he got it. So he slaughtered the oxen, took the plow he was using, destroyed it, and made an altar out of it, and then followed Elijah. What has the Lord said? Unless you're willing to leave your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your wives, your children, and everything else, and follow after Jesus, you're not worthy to be his disciple. Now, of course, what he's meaning is that he must come first. That's where he is your shepherd. If he is not your shepherd, you are in want. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. Why? That word sleep means die. Because they take communion in an unworthy manner. For if you would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord that we may, what? Not be condemned with the world. Not be condemned with what? With the world. Now, that's why we're going through the wilderness. Because God wants to rescue his church from being condemned with the world. So everybody is in the wilderness right now. We will stay in the wilderness until we are raptured. Does everybody got it? Revelation 3. Now the wilderness can be an awesome place for those who are right with God. He'll bring you to the oasis. You know, he'll provide everything, man. Yeah. But those who are not right with God, Uchihuahua. Revelation 3, in verse 10, what does it say? Because you have kept my command to persevere, to what? Persevere, what means endure. I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which will come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more, and I will write on him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. So we see here that there is testing in the wilderness, isn't there? And we are being tested right now. There will be testing. God will be testing. There's constant testing in the wilderness. Hebrews 3. Some of us feel like our life is nothing but a test. It is. You are not mistaken. Your life is a test from the eternal broadcasting system. Hebrews 3, verse 7. Would you all read it with me, please? Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice and not your desires, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion and the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works for what? 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said they always go astray where? In their hearts. They have not known my ways, so I swore my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Rest, rest. Rest is a place where you trust, rest, and wait. Where there is no fear. See, fear will tell you you're going to miss something. Hello. Fear. When an individual chases something or someone, it's fear. beware that chase the Lord. It says, beware, brethren, lest there be what? In any of you an evil heart of what? Unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if, let me say that one more time, if we hold on the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end, while it is said, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who having heard rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt? Egypt means the world, led by Moses. Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not what? Obey. So we see that they could not enter because of unbelief. See, that's where the devil deceives, doesn't he? He puts us in a place where we say we trust God, but we can't believe him. I can't believe God to provide for me. I can't believe him to send the right husband, the right wife. I can't believe him to send whatever. Does everybody understand? I can't believe him to send the right job. I can't believe him to send this. I can't believe him to make a way. I can't, even though we say we believe him, but the heart isn't saying, I believe him. Has everybody got it? And this is where people get caught up in fear and they can't rest. And this is why we're going through the wilderness right now. The whole world is going, we're in the wilderness. Welcome to the wilderness. The purpose of going in the wilderness is so we can qualify to enter the promised land. In other words, he's preparing us for his return. The world and the church have entered the wilderness. Again, this is a new shift of the Holy Spirit. Now, there's something very powerful that is going to happen here. Because the church, the body of Christ, is in the wilderness, and all the world is in the wilderness, right? That means that the body of Christ will be the voice crying in the wilderness. Are you listening? The voice that will cry in the wilderness will be the body of Christ. Go to Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40. In verse 1. Everybody okay? Start at verse 1 with me. Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended. That her what? Iniquity is pardoned. For she has received from the Lord's hand double for her all of her sins. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the what? Desert, a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. So we are going into the wilderness. We are in the wilderness, and we will stay in the wilderness until the rapture. We'll be the voice that cries in the wilderness. And those who are not right will stay in the wilderness and go under the wrath of God. And those who are right will be rescued from the wilderness by the rapture of the Lord. It is the next fulfillment feast called the Feast of Trumpets. Let's go a little further. In verse 6, the voice said, cry out. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass. And all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. See, so even in the wilderness, there will come a revival. We are in revival right now. There will be salvation. But there will be exposure. There will be chastening. Until individuals of God's children come to the trueness and total dependence on Him. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands what? Forever. The voice that cries out again, we will be the voice in the wilderness. The same is the spirit of Elijah. John the Baptist came in as the, John the Baptist was in the spirit of Elijah. What was he doing? He was the one crying in the wilderness, wasn't he? He kept saying, prepare the way of the Lord. Then the Lord came, didn't he? Well, now the body of Christ is in the wilderness with the whole world now. The whole world is in the wilderness now. And in this, we are crying out, prepare the way of the Lord. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Go to Malachi 3. Malachi 3. In verse 1, Malachi 3, verse 1. Let's read this together, okay? Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1. We'll read the first five verses. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in what? Righteousness. So you and I that are in this wilderness, in this trial right now, testing and purifying so that we can give him a true sacrifice of righteousness. So that we're not doing any part of our will, but all of his will. Come on a little further. Then the offering of Judah will be what? Pleasant to the Lord as in the days of old, as in the former years. Verse 5. And I will come near for judgment. I will be a swift witness against the what? Sorcerers, against idolaters, against perjurers, against those who exploit wage earners and widows and orphans, and against those who turn away an alien because they did not what? Fear me, says the Lord of hosts. See, in this wilderness, it's supposed to increase the fear of the Lord in our life. In fact, it will increase the fear of the Lord. And those who don't obtain the fear of the Lord, or the fear of the Lord is not increased in their life, will be staying in the wilderness because they'll still be doing their own things, won't they? So we're the ones that are going to prepare the way. Now, in the wilderness, we will be going to the lost. And we'll also be going to the deceived sheep of the church. The what? Deceived sheep of the church. So there'll be a rescue to the lost and the deceived sheep. Has everybody got it? That's what this wilderness is about. Remember, we are in the wilderness. This is it. We're staying in. The only way out is through the rapture now. But in the wilderness time right now. Why? Because this is how preparing the way to the Lord. And how many of y'all know he's coming? Well, if you don't know, you know now. But he's coming soon. And in this, God is now tightening up things. The Bible tells us that to walk uprightly with the Lord, that the path is difficult and narrow. I'm telling you, we're walking sideways right now, man. But the path of the unrighteous, the ungodly, is wide and broad, right? Go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. So in this wilderness, there'll be a rescue, there'll be an exposure, there'll be an assistance to the lost and to the deceived in the body of Christ. In Matthew chapter 5, in verse 8. Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. Would you read it with me? Come on. What does it say? Blessed are the pure in heart. For what? They shall see God. The what? Pure in heart. Pure in heart. Has everybody got it? Say pure in heart. Pure in heart. Those are the ones that are going to who? See God. Pure in heart. Now, so if this is pure in heart, that means that you and I are going in the wilderness, staying in the wilderness, because only the pure in heart are going to see God, right? This is the inward change of a pure heart that will produce pure conduct. A pure heart will produce what? Pure conduct. We have learned to sorrow over the consequences of sin. We've learned to sorrow over the consequences of sin, but without forsaking its nature. I want to say that again. Because this is a heart that's not pure. In other words, people sorrow over sin, but don't forsake the nature of it. Does everybody understand this? They sorrow over the sin, but they don't forsake the nature of it. They continue to do it.
Oh, I'm sorry, but continue.
That's not pure heart. That's hardened heart. And this is why we're in the wilderness. So that we may have a pure heart to see God. Does everybody understand? In this, we have learned to sorrow over the consequences of sin without forsaking its nature, and its nature is self. Hello. It's all about who? Self. Self. Let's go to Exodus 5. Exodus chapter 5. Now the Jews were in bondage for 400 years, weren't they? They were under the slavery of Egypt, which is representation of the world. And who's the ruler of the world? Satan. And the Lord appeared to Moses to get them out of there. In verse 1, it says, "And afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, 'Thus says the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness.' And Pharaoh said, 'Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go.' So they said, 'The God of the Hebrews has met with us. Please let us go 3 days' journey into the wilderness, into the desert, and sacrifice to the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence and with the sword.'" So they warned him, didn't they? He said, "Let my people go." They said, "We wanted to go on a 3-day journey." That means 3 days there, 3 days back. That's 6 days total, isn't it? What's the number six man mean? Man. But I really believe in this, that the feast, that there's a feast that they were wanting to celebrate. They wanted to go and sacrifice. They wanted to celebrate a feast. And I really believe that this feast was a feast of atonement. Now you might say, well, why Feast of Atonement? Because they were asking God for forgiveness of sin. Because then what did the Lord do because it was rejected? Didn't he kill all the firstborn? That was the sacrifice, wasn't it? So I really believe that was the Feast of Atonement, because right now we are in the wilderness. And because we are in the wilderness, there's two things that are going to happen. The next feast to be fulfilled is the Feast of Rapture, isn't it? That means the body of Christ will be removed from the wilderness. Well, what's the next feast after that? Atonement, which we will return. That's when we all return. That's when the whole world will be judged. This is when the whole world, everyone, during the end of the tribulation, 7 years tribulation, the wrath of God, at the end of that, we will return for atonement, where the blood will be up to the bridle of a horse in Armageddon. It will be called the Valley of Jehoshaphat, or the Valley of Decision. So we are in the wilderness now, and I really believe that they were asking to come out of the bondage of the Egyptians under Pharaoh to go out and sacrifice and fulfill a feast called atonement, so they can be atoned for their sins. And in this, it's the same thing that they were not let go, were they? They were not let go to go to fulfill the Feast of Atonement. So the judgment, the wrath of God will come just like in the days of when they were in bondage of Egyptians. Is everybody with me? So what happened? Plagues came, all kinds of things came in the same parallel as the 7 years of tribulation. So we are in the wilderness, and the world is in the wilderness. And it's to purify the heart, to rescue the lost, and rescue the deceived in the body of Christ, so the heart can be pure before God, because only the pure in heart will see him. Is everybody okay? Let's keep going. Oh, glory. Then the king of Egypt said to them, Moses and Aaron, why do you take the people from their work? Go back to your labor. And Pharaoh said, look, the people of the land are many now, and you make them rest from their labor. So the same day, Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, you shall no longer give the people straw to make brick before let them go and gather straw for themselves. So their labor was even what? Harder. And you shall lay on them the quota of the bricks which they made before. You shall not reduce it, for they are idle. Therefore they cry out, saying, let us go and sacrifice to our God. See, in the wilderness, this is what's happening. So understand the purpose of the wilderness. The whole world is in the wilderness now. And in this wilderness, I want to share a couple quick things. Again, I want to share that three representing Trinity, right? Trinity. So 3 days there, 3 days back, which is representation of six, which is representation of man. All enter wilderness, the world in a church, but during the wilderness, those purified will be removed with the rapture and return on the Feast of Atonement. Those left will go through the wrath of God because of disobedience. Everybody got it? Now go to Acts 2. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. When the day of what? Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. How many of y'all know that feast has been fulfilled? In fact, the Feast of Pentecost is the foundation of the church. Has everybody got it? That's where the Holy Spirit was poured out, wasn't it? And the Holy Spirit is the foundation of the body of Christ. It's not built by anything else but by the power of God, the Spirit, God's Spirit. Amen? He is the builder. Is everybody with me? And it said, and suddenly came sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in the Jerusalem devout men from every nation and under heaven. And when this sound occurred, and the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in their own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these Galileans? And how is it that we hear in each of our own language which what they speak? So all of these Galileans, all of these people that were living there, all of a sudden they're hearing everybody that was in the upper room get baptized in the Holy Ghost, and they were beginning to speak in their language that they didn't even know. And they were speaking these wonderful wonders of what God was doing. Is everybody with me? Now I want you to go down to verse 15. Or 14, I'm sorry. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to the men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words, for these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day, but this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And what did he say? Read it with me. And it shall come to pass in the last day, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Is that happening? Yes, it started on the day of Pentecost, on the Feast of Pentecost. And it's been going on ever since. Why? Because that's how the church started. In verse 18, and on my men servants and maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So he says this is going to happen before his coming, isn't it? So the church had to be birthed. And the foundation had to be established, and it's established by the Spirit. So we are in the wilderness now. We are in the wilderness in preparation for the return of the Lord. And in this, the world is in the wilderness. Now you may say, how do you know the world is in the wilderness? Well, there's something very important of what happened to Israel. Now, when the Egypt, when Pharaoh let the Jews out of Egypt, they left with everything. They left with all the gold, the silver, the cattle. They left with everything and entered the wilderness. They had everything. But there was something quite wild in the wilderness. There wasn't a place they could spend it. There was no 7-Eleven. There was no grocery stores. They had all the gold, all the silver, and all the cattle. But they couldn't purchase a thing. And when the Holy Spirit began to share with me that we're in the wilderness, and I said, well, what's up with it? He said, because look at what's happened. The world is an economic disaster. They can no longer spend what they were able to spend. See, that's the first sign of being in the wilderness, financial crises. But in this, their financial crisis was not in materialism. They had to depend on God for a glass of water. They could not purchase anything. Nothing. See, the wilderness is bringing us into a total dependence on the Lord, because the Bible says in the latter days, they will throw their gold and their silver in the streets and it won't mean nothing. So everybody got it. This is where our dependency is on the Lord. This is where those who are deceived hopefully will come out of the deception and snare the devil and do the will of God and not the will of the devil. And those who are lost will come to the truth. In this wilderness right now that we are in, I'm telling you, two events are going to happen. The rapture and the Feast of Atonement. The rapture and the Feast of Atonement. And we will watch the world continue to stay under the wilderness and struggle and fight and do everything they can. It's like a ship that's going to get ready to sink. And what they begin to do, they throw everything overboard to try and preserve. They're fighting for their lives and survival. They'll come to a point where they no longer can survive. They'll have to surrender. Hello. Has everybody got it? They'll have to stop surviving and get into an area of surrender. Glory. And this is where, now listen, powerful. Let's go a little further. Let's go to Exodus 3. The foundation of the church, the body of Christ, begins with the anointing. Remember, discipline and obedience will maintain and make a solid foundation, won't it? And it's to get you through the wilderness to enter the promised land of eternity. Exodus 3 and verse 20. And the Lord is telling Moses. He says, so I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all of my wonders, which I will do in its midst. And after that, he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall be when you go that you shall not go empty handed. But every woman shall ask of her neighbor, namely of her who dwells near her house, articles of silver, articles of gold and clothing. And you shall put them on your sons and on your daughters. So you shall plunder the Egyptians. Again, I want you to know that the world is being plundered now. Has everybody got it? The world is plundered by financial problems, isn't it? Confirmation. First Corinthians chapter 3. Out of the mouth of babes. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we'll close here. For those who are wondering how long is this going to take. until you die. You're in the wilderness. Verse 11. For no other foundation can anyone lay than which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clearer, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. So we know that, see, they were trying to build their foundation on gold and silver, weren't they? You know, many of the body of Christ are trying to build their foundation on gold and silver. But in the wilderness, you're going to find it, it ain't buying nothing. Many people forsake everything for money. Money. Because money is still their God. But in the wilderness, you'll find out that money will not buy you favor. Does everybody understand? Money will not buy you favor. Only discipline and obedience which builds a foundation, and a strong foundation and solid foundation will get you through the wilderness, because it's going to purify your heart. And only those with a pure heart will see God. This is not an outward thing. Listen, you can remove all TVs. Women can all wear long dresses and no makeup. And there still could be lust and all kinds of other garbage with the heart. It doesn't matter what the outwardness is. It's all about the inwardness, isn't it? It's about a pure heart. And that's why we're in the wilderness. And the lost will have an opportunity to get rescued. The deceived will have an opportunity to get rescued before the removal of the church and the wrath of God. We are in the wilderness. The world is in the wilderness. And welcome to the wilderness. But in this, you and I can maintain favor. This is where the wealth of the wicked could be laid up for the righteous. This is where it's an opportunity. Where as long as we're right with God, He's going to provide and bring abundance. This is where the world is going to see in this wilderness. And because they're in parched and dry land, that we are the oasis. Because we will walk in the fullness of Christ. In the joy of the Lord. In the freedom of His Spirit. Lacking nothing. But of course, wanting nothing. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Amen. And in this wilderness, the world will see you and run to you. Because no one's escaping the wilderness. Only those who are walking upright with God will escape. The rest will go through the wrath. And to God be all the glory. So Father, we thank You for Your word. We are honored and blessed. We'll count it all joy, hallelujah, as we go through the wilderness and surrender to You in every area, in truth and in righteousness and peace. We commit to You all things, and we ask, Lord, that You'll purify our hearts, that we will be counted worthy of escape for Your glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Hallelujah.